Okay, I've got a thing that I'm struggling with. I've started animating like a cutscene, right? And I'm realizing, because this is like a proper frame by frame thing, like I'm roughing it out, it's got keys and in-betweens, it's got cleanup and shading, a regular animation. It's not that crazy. But I'm coming to terms with even more with the fact of how typecast I've been. I keep getting hired in roles that to do with compositing, effects, editing, technical project management stuff. And very rarely do I get to spend time actually being an animator, let alone a traditional animator, because everything's rig-based now. And after spending the last couple of days doing this, I'm just feeling a bit intimidated. I think I've forgotten how to do
Oh
this.
no. I think it's funny you're asking me because have I done any frame by frame animation this week? No.
Right? That's what I mean. It's like this is our full-time job and time just happens. I'm just like, damn, like it just months go by where I just don't actually animate anything.
Or draw? Have I drawn anything today? No, all today has all been audio editing and teaching. So I've been
Right?
talking, yip yap all day. No, I'm sure. Okay, let's regular animating. Let's get back to that. Man, I wanna, you know what though? I will say it feels so good to animate when I do actually get to do it.
It does. That's why I got so into it as well. It was wonderful. So often I sometimes struggle during the workday to stay focused for hours at a time because there's a lot of task switching involved, or a lot of heavy thinking involved. Like editing has quite a bit of concentration sometimes, or making game assets is thinking about, okay, there's a lot of design, making sure that pieces fit with pieces and et cetera. But just doing inking is quite therapeutic. And just hours and hours just happen. And it's like, wow, look, there's movement now. But my method and technique, I'm not sure about.
All right, what are you stuck on? Start from the beginning. How are you approaching this cutscene?
Okay, stuck is probably the wrong word, but rather not really being able to settle on a method.
Okay.
And I kept jumping between different kinds, and it made me very curious as to how little I spend talking about this as well. Like again, most of the videos on my channel, they're very technical as well. They're tutorials on how to work software as opposed to how to, make characters move and things like that. And it also made me realize that I ask people this very rarely. Do you plot out your keys first? Do you sort of go straight ahead? When you're inking, do you ink an entire frame at a time, or do you focus on single strokes and work that through the movement?
Wow, you want to know what my method is? Okay, well we'll reverse engineer this. So my method has changed since I started using Toon Boom.
Really? That's interesting.
Yes, and there's a reason why too. It's just because the program works differently. If we deconstruct the methods, we could probably figure out why it's changed. So with Flash,
Let's do that.
partly that is the program I used to learn with. So when at that time when I was animating that way, it was all pretty much straight through, frame by frame, straight through. I'd hear the dialogue, I'd throw the scene together, and then I'd animate whatever I felt like. And sometimes I didn't even have keyframes. I'd just make stuff up.
You just go straight ahead.
Yep, straight ahead.
And we're still talking like in twos, like 12 drawings a second.
Yeah, so I would go straight ahead in twos, and then just create frames, blank frames in between, and then make in-betweens sometimes.
Wow, was it difficult to stay on model?
Oh, of course, I didn't know what I was doing. This is the thing. I didn't know what I was doing at the time.
Right, so this is just when you're a
Yeah,
hobbyist.
so when I was a hobbyist, that's how it started out. Then, as I learned more about animation, I started thinking, oh, you can actually plan this stuff. Oh, it looks a lot better if you do it that way. If we fast forward, let's say I switch over to Toon Boom, and now, wow, things have gotten so much more production intensive. It starts with the script, then I have to kind of plan out the storyboard, and I've been doing that now so I know how many backgrounds I have to make and what they have to look like. That still leaves me with all the frame by frame stuff to do. So how do I go about doing that? Let me actually, what was the last thing I worked on? I can't even remember right now. I did a music video. It still isn't out yet.
I constantly flip back and forth because I found that just mapping out keys was somewhat tricky. I devolved into doing like roughs. That's probably a lot more common than
that
than I think it is, but
is what I do. Roughs.
Yeah, like so simple to the point where it could be animated straight ahead and it doesn't really matter. Like, and drawing with so much speed that it's almost like drawing fourth dimensionally. Like, I'm drawing movement, not form.
I don't quite go that fast, but I just need to know the placement of the character, and I need to make sure that the motion makes sense. So I'll have some kind of stick figure.
Okay. Like, I'll probably even just be, like, just drawing a bunch of circles just to animate the head through. Like, you know, just kind of having it moving in wave. I just sort of felt like I was making this up, but at the same time, I know that these are most likely very, very standard techniques that I've just been removed from for quite a while, and now I'm starting to wonder if I even feel justified to be teaching this stuff.
Great, second-guessing yourself. Oh, we've reached the height of everything now.
Well, it's more of like, I've got my comfy niche in teaching the software, but I need to get I need to get back to knowing how to do the art side of this stuff as well, because it's important.
The software and the technique are two completely different things.
Well, one thing I found this time was I was using the onion skin a lot less than I do when doing hybrid animation. So I guess I should probably backpedal a little that. It's not that I haven't done any animation in a long time, but going very raw traditional is rare. It's usually some form of rig hybrid. Like, there's a formula to it. You draw the two keys and then turn the onion skin on and in between it. It doesn't take much, a whole lot of skill. But I found this time I wasn't really using the onion skin at all. I was flipping heaps and would sort of work my way through each frame, flipping back and forth, just drawing one line of the arm and making sure that was moving at the pace that I wanted it to, so that eventually, one stroke at a time, the arm would sort of fourth dimensionally construct itself and stay on model. Does that make sense? Is that a decent explanation?
I get that. I feel like that is a little bit not away from the traditional method, because the traditional method is you should skeleton out the whole character and then you do a second pass to kind of tie down the character. Yeah, that's even what it's called. It's called a tie down. To the design.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I guess that's what I'm doing then. The tie down is.
Yeah. But it sounds like you're doing one line at a time, which is a little bit different because you'd have the whole skeleton. And then instead of having to go one line at a time, you would be drawing, tying down that arm on model without necessarily even looking at the drawing and flipping between the drawings. I guess, yeah, that kind of does make sense.
Yeah. Because I'm always going back and looking at that first image, which is complete. You know, draw the first frame in its entirety and then work through on a stroke at a time.
There's an animator named Taniko Pandoja who talks about this, which is if you use the onion skin all the time, it hampers your traditional animation, because what will happen is things will go off model in your in-betweens, because you're, instead of drawing the fresh drawing with the correct perspective, you're just trying to draw the drawing in between the drawings, which ends up being wrong.
Yeah. That's what I was feeling, that, you know, all this time I've been using very calculated methodical techniques where you sort of construct it. And it was quite refreshing to do this method, which, as I say, it feels like drawing fourth dimensionally, like going forwards as opposed to an image at a time. And I guess I'm curious as to how common this is, because I'm not sure how often or how rarely I see it, because I guess I forget to ask, or I'm not over people's shoulders as much, or I'm only surrounded by productions that are using rigs now. I don't know.
I guess I don't really know either. It's not like I ask, but if you're working on a 2D traditional production, yeah, you have to be roughing things out and then flipping, even if it's digitally. So I don't think it's uncommon. Certainly not.
Well, yeah, you got to rough things out. But I mean, like this, this sort of debate between do you do a frame at a time or like a piece at a time?
Oh, see.
Like it's sort of one's working two-dimensionally and one's not, because you're, you know, I'm going to draw frame one, then I'll draw frame two or frame five. Doesn't really matter if you're going that way. But the whole one stroke at a time thing. I've always done the one stroke at a time thing when doing cleanup or shading.
This is actually kind of blowing my mind. Wait, okay, so you go through, you have your, let's say you have your rough animation, and you go through each frame and only do one, specific line in every single, like, say you got an arm, you just draw the top part of the arm and go through every single frame and do only that line?
Yes.
What?
And I think it's a lot faster and probably is more likely to stay on model. The onion skin gets in the way sometimes. If you've got a really complicated character and you're looking three frames in both directions, it's just, oh, it's a mess. But when flipping, like, I'd sort of like go two back and then three forwards. So it's like, okay, now I'm getting a bit of a feel for how that arm's swinging. So that means this line goes here. And sort of construct that through. And if there is that, like, rough beforehand, then there is, like, a template to follow. And, you know, I felt like I was able to get a feel on when to break it and when to conform to it.
Oh, man.
I don't know how common this is, because, like, looking at the final result of this animation in question, it's not the smoothest thing in the world. I think for how long it's been since I've done it, it's, like, it's okay. Like, I'm pretty happy with it, considering it's got lots of, like, forced perspective and dimension and swinging and stuff. But for any of my peers that will see it, I'm very curious to what their reaction and their feedback would be. There's a lot of people out there who are really, really good.
Yeah.
And one reason why I'm enjoying talking about it in a public setting is that you get free feedback for it.
Now I'm curious to see it. I've never thought about doing it a line at a time.
You've always done, like, a frame at a time?
More or less, yeah. I've never done a line at a time. I've done a shadow at a time. That almost has to be done that way, because otherwise I lose track of where everything is on a complicated scene.
I knew the feature existed, and I know it's a very common technique for traditional artists, but I've never really needed it. And this time I used it a lot, which was the shift and trace. Have you ever heard of that?
They just added that to Toon Boom, I think. And what does that tool do again? Give me a reminder.
Imagine you've got all your pages on the pegboard, and you've got, like, a character who is walking and turning, like their head's turning as they're walking. So if you're trying to animate that head turn while they're moving physically across the page, it could be quite difficult to in between that. So, solution: take both of those pages off the pegboard, realign your pieces of paper so that now the heads line up perfectly. So now when you're going in between the head, it's much easier because you're just animating a head turn that's in place. It's not moving. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I haven't ever done it that way. It would be a lot easier, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So that's what the shift and trace does. It allows you to reposition drawings for the sake of drawing them, but it doesn't affect any tweening or movement. When you're done, you kind of press the done button and everything just snaps back into place again.
I'm excited to try this out now, because I've had many, not frustrating, but just time-consuming situations where the head is turning and the body is moving, so you can't just in between it, because you have to draw the original frame without using either of the previous or next ones as a reference.
It was an interesting situation because, yeah, I've known this feature exists for a long time, and I've always looked for opportunities to use it, but it always felt like I was using it for the sake of using it. But for this specific piece, it came into play like nearly a dozen times, just naturally, to the point where it was like, oh man, if this feature didn't exist, I would be feeling the pain right now.
Okay, yeah. At least now I know some practical applications for it. I'm now thinking about the stuff I need to work on in the future and whether I'm going to end up using the shift and trace tool.
It's making me excited to get back into the basics.
Yeah, to get to take a step back away from the rigs and to get back into drawing.
I want more, but as an experienced animator, it's also confronting because it feels like starting again in a way.
It feels like a step back. Yeah, I can definitely understand that because I've started to get good at rigging. And then when I go back to work on traditional stuff, it feels really frustrating because there are people who are more accomplished at it.
How often do you get that feeling where it's like, oh, I'm starting to get the hang of this. I think I know what I'm doing. And then you see something that just blows it out of the water, and like, I am a child. I have no purpose in this world.
That's pretty constant. Actually, what happens is it over time it gets worse and worse. So what I have to do is I say, okay, I have to prove to myself that I can still draw, or I have to prove to myself that I can still animate. I'll make time to do a little personal project or something where I actually put effort into it. Because so much of my business is efficiency, which means I do not get to exercise my full level of skill very often, if at all.
That's a very good point. And I think it's why I've often alternated between doing stuff from home and doing stuff in a studio, is that that need goes back and forth of wanting to do efficient short projects and have the satisfaction of stuff getting released very frequently, versus needing to sink your teeth into a large project over a period of time and have like a magnum opus to be proud of at the end.
And so lately, that's what I've been feeling, is I feel the need to be part of something bigger than myself or to create something really nice. So I got on my list just to do a little multi-animator project piece, and I'm going to put a little bit of effort into that just so I can say, okay, I proved to myself, oh yeah, I could still animate. I forgot I could do that.
But you often run those things. Wouldn't that mean that you're getting yourself into a lot of administrator work as opposed to artist work?
Oh, this one I'm not running, so I'm just participating.
Oh, nice, nice. Are we allowed to ask what the theme is yet?
Yeah, it's a Phantom of the Opera theme. But what I've decided to do is, since the only rule really is you have to dress the character as either the Phantom or as Christine. So I'm going to make the Phantom's mask into a wolf's head type shape. I know how I want the last shot to be, so the question is, well, what do I do with the rest of the beginning of the shot? That's the question.
How long is it going to be?
Oh, just like 9 seconds. Short.
Oh, I'm excited. Is there an ETA?
It's supposed to be done by January, so after I get back from this convention, I'm going to start it and finish it pretty quickly, I hope. I want to use it as an exercise to practice character animation, because it's been a long time, so.
Okay, well, that's something that we can all be excited for.
Yay!
And once again, I'm going to be very much looking forward to hearing what people's thoughts are to the critique of the junk that I've had on the screen.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing where I think our conversations here can get a little bit more interactive with the listeners as well, because this is everyone will have their techniques for frame by frame. And I'd imagine there are a lot of animators that would be like a pretty even balance between animation enthusiasts and the aspiring and those who work professionally and stuff. To be able to take their pointers on board and talk about them and even try them out is something that I'm personally very excited for.
And maybe we should pose a question at the end of this episode then.
Be like, so what are your methods? When you're doing frame by frame stuff? I'm talking to you, the audience now. I'm sure you have methods of doing your frame by frame stuff. So have that comment conversation. You know how it goes.